Leroy Downs was sitting on his porch in Staten Island. He was talking on his cell phone. An unmarked car pulled up to his home. Two plainclothes policemen approached him. "Are you smoking weed?" they asked. "No," said Downs, but he was pushed up against a fence anyway and frisked. The police found nothing. There was no summons issued, no arrest. Downs was innocent of any crime. He asked the NYPD cops for their badge numbers. They refused. Leroy Downs went down to the precinct where he saw the two police officers again. He asked a sergeant for the badge numbers of the two cops who stopped him. The sergeant refused. He said, "Get them yourself." Downs filed a complaint. The officers were identified, but in court on Friday, one of the officers who stopped Downs said he didn't stop him. The other said he didn't recall stopping Downs. The judge angrily ordered the NYPD stopping officers, James Mahoney and Scott Giacana, to appear in court so Downs, who hadn't seen them or heard their testimony, could say whether or not these are the officers who stopped him. Flanked by attorneys, the officers appeared. First Lieutenant Giacana takes the stand. The judge asks some informational questions so Downs can hear his voice, study his face. Then the judge asks Leroy Downs to stand. "Do you recognize Mr. Downs?" "No," says Giacana. Next up, Sergeant James Murray. He gives some background information, and then the judge asks, "Do you recognize Mr. Downs?" "No, I'm sorry, Your Honor." The sergeant leaves. "Well, Mr. Downs, do you recognize either of the officers?" "Both of them," he responds. "Those are the two who stopped me." 17-year-old Kyle Jean-Pierre watched as this went on. The Brooklyn youth is stopped often, and this summer he says he gets stopped 2 times a week.
"And I'm not surprised I didn't recognize him. I don't even think they were lying. I believe that they didn't recognize him for the simple fact that it happens so much, that they do it so much, that he's probably just another face to them. Especially when you're being stopped and frisked and you're the person that's being harassed, that kind of face you wouldn't forget a lot of times. And I can really relate to Mr. Downs."
So do you take down the officers' names? Have you ever complained?
I've encountered, like, one stop and frisk. I tried taking his badge number, and he pushed me on a heater, and he told me that he could arrest me for not having my ID, so I shouldn't ask him about any badge number.
Jean-Pierre was in court watching the proceedings with classmates from Pace High School in East New York, Brooklyn. His class is studying Stop and Frisk and the Community Safety Act in a project with Councilmember Jamani Williams. In addition to testimony about the stop of Leroy Downs, the students watched as Commissioner Phil McGuire, head of the NYPD Office of Management Analysis and Planning, testified about a report by the RAND Corporation, Analysis of Racial Disparities in the New York Police Department's Stop, Question, and Frisk Practices. McGuire's testimony particularly interested 17-year-old Brianna Dominic.
"One of the outside people who coordinated on the analysis of the police department did give them recommendations to limit discrimination, and they weren't implemented by the police department. So it's not like they were ignorant of the fact that there's discrimination. They just didn't do anything about it."
Attorney Charney says the NYPD believes that 90% who are committing crimes are the ones to look at when determining if stops are based on race. But statistics show 90% of all stops do not uncover any type of criminal activity.
"So basically, they're imputing what the criminals do to the 90% of the people who are innocent of crime, and that therefore what they are saying is that they believe that law-abiding black people act more suspiciously than law-abiding white people. That's what they believe. And they try to talk around it by saying, well, you go to a high-crime area and, you know, it happens to be a black neighborhood. But that still doesn't get around the fact that you, in a black neighborhood, you are now stopping innocent people because you believe that they are suspicious because they are black. And there's really no other way around what they're saying, because the data just doesn't back up what they're saying."
Nor does anecdotal evidence from plaintiffs and from young people like Uma Begum. She was pulled over with some friends while waiting for another friend to come out of her house.
"And they had all of us step out the car, and they searched us fully. They couldn't search me at first because I was female and there was no female officers. So they had to wait till a female officer came so she can perform the search on me. And it was rather embarrassing to have everyone passing by stare at you while you're taking off your boots and your jacket and your purse. And everyone's just digging through as if I have no right over my own property."
The students at Pace High School set up a Facebook page, No Wrongful Arrests, to share information and personal accounts about Stop and Frisk. The plaintiffs will be putting on their last witness on Tuesday. Then the defendants will be presenting their case. The Stop and Frisk trial is expected to run for two more weeks. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.